You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go. Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I have no clue who
I am. It is a little
am,
different, but when
who
do
you
it,
are,
when
you,
do
I,
it,
I
do
you
it.
Even look different.
That can only mean one thing.
Jeff Lutz.
There's Elvis for you. Oh, I'm going to pass out. That was so funny.
You are not cool.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here?
Hello, everyone. Here we are. It's a Wednesday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting Max Power, producing and engineering. What do we have for today?
I assume. I don't know. You tell me what we have today.
We've got Josh Furlong.
Never heard of him.
Coming on to talk about Utah football here shortly at about 2:25 as we continue with Big 12 football previews. That's what we're doing here.
How many do we have left after Josh? KU and
K-State?
Well,
we've got Arizona later in the week, KU and Kansas.
Have we done Arizona State?
Josh from KSL Sports out in Salt Lake City, so he'll join us at 2:25. 2:45, Mike Furchus on to talk pop culture. And then in hour number two, Kelly Rankin, who is going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October, and he's got a very interesting story. A longtime official and a starter in track and field in two Olympic Games.
Good stuff.
I find that to be very interesting.
You didn't answer my question, though.
I didn't, Jeff. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well,
I didn't hear your.
That's
question.
On you if you don't want to listen and hear the other person on the microphone.
I was busy doing something. I didn't hear your question.
I said, "Have we done Arizona State?"
Yes, we have.
I don't remember that, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I remember them all. We've done them all.
Who do we have on from Arizona State?
A young woman.
Okay.
Why don't you remember anything?
I don't remember that.
Well, what am I supposed to do with that? Why do I care if you remember it?
I'm not asking you to care. Just telling you. It's not necessarily for a reaction.
No, you're trying to point out what you're trying to do. The ulterior motive there is, you know, did you forget Arizona State?
No, I didn't. I don't remember that we had Arizona State.
Just take it for granted that I've got
them. Why don't you hear what I am saying instead of what you think I'm saying? I don't remember. That's all.
Well, that's not on me that you remember.
Again, not making it on you. The only thing that I'm saying The only thing that I'm saying,
Michelle Gardner
is that I don't
was
remember
on August the 8th to talk about Arizona State.
Okay,
from the Arizona Republic.
Awesome.
So we covered them.
Excellent.
The only four we have left are Utah, Arizona, Kansas, and Kansas State. We've done 12 Big 12 football previews.
Beautiful.
What do you have to say for yourself today?
I don't have anything to say for myself.
You won
myself.
A game last night. It must have been atrocious to watch.
I didn't watch it. I told you I wasn't going to watch it, and I didn't.
Well, I'm sure you got in when it went to extra inning.
Nope.
So you're done with it.
Didn't watch a second of that game. Needed the cleanser, needed the break, needed the palate cleanser.
So you're back at it tonight.
Maybe. I don't really need to see Joey Cantillo give up 5 runs in 3 1/3 innings, but we'll see.
Well, the Royals lost one. You gained a game.
Twins lost two.
Twins are, I keep telling you, nobody wants anything to do with the Padres right now. They're that team.
They've seemingly come together. They're playing very well.
And they're coming to St. Louis for 4. They'll bury the Cardinals. Well, the Cardinals...
That'll be like taking Noel Yeller out back, though. Just put him out of the misery.
Well, why don't they put the Cardinals out of their misery? Why don't they just move on?
That's probably what's going to happen. I don't see any other scenario. You don't want to split. That just does nothing. It just
no, I'm talking about moving on from this current regime.
That's not for me to decide. It seems like you really want that badly. I don't know if
my
everyone
friend
else...
Bernie Miklas has moved into that realm now.
What is he saying?
He's on them every day. He's got a new YouTube video channel that he does a daily.
How long are these videos? 15 minutes?
15 minutes.
I've not watched one, so that was a good guess.
Well, why would you watch? It's a Cardinals.
It's about baseball.
It's a Cardinals video.
I like seeing what's going on with other teams, too, occasionally.
Yeah, but I'm not sitting here. I would never watch a Guardians video.
Really?
No, don't
Why
care.
Why not?
Could not care less.
I care a little bit about the Cardinals.
I wouldn't watch any other team's beat writer talk about that
Really?
Team.
I find...
No, because I don't care.
I don't care what they do in the standings or if they win or they lose other teams, but I like... Knowing what's going on with their franchises, I
know plenty about what's going on with franchises. Without,
obviously not. You just know the wins and losses.
Without spending 15 minutes listening to some guy talk about the Angels.
What's going on
in
the Tigers franchise?
They brought up a bunch of young guys.
But what's going on? Why'd they do that?
There's a youth movement in Detroit. They feel good about where they are with their young players. They cast aside.
It's a white flag is what that is.
Right. They know they're not going to the playoffs.
This year, next year. Because they were trying for a while.
Well, sure they were.
And
they have a chance to be good relatively soon.
They see the outlook in this division with 3 teams that are good and young, and they see no hope. And that's the way they should see it.
No, they see hope.
They shouldn't.
Well, yeah, they should. They'll be better than Cleveland next year.
No, they won't. I mean, there's no
planet.
Well,
I'm sorry to break that news to you, but as you know, I'm rarely wrong about
you
this
just,
stuff.
You, every time you say they'll be, that's the only prediction you ever make, is somebody will be better than Cleveland. That's the only thing.
I make a lot of predictions.
No, it isn't. No, you don't.
White Sox won't be better than Cleveland.
Neither will Detroit.
Year.
There's no planet on which that could happen.
I think Detroit will be.
The scenario does not exist.
Well, I told you the Royals would be better.
And they're not. And
they're right there.
And they've been chasing Cleveland all year.
They've got 7 games left. 4 in Cleveland, 3 in Kansas City, and they all happen here relatively soon. Next weekend is the 4-game series in Cleveland.
Good. Won't mean anything.
The following weekend is the 3-game series in Kansas City. And at the end of that, so by the end of, by Labor Day, we'll have a very good idea of can the Royals, in fact, catch Cleveland.
Okay, but Detroit can. I don't really care what you think about the Royals. I follow this division. Detroit does not have a chance to be better than Cleveland next year.
Well, don't get defensive about it.
Zero chance.
I always think that's
unless they bring in Shohei. Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts in some trade.
I always think that's a relatively bleak sign when you get so defensive.
Well, when you're that wrong, I don't know how else to get.
You just say, I think you're wrong, Dad, and we move on. You don't need to get angry.
I don't think you're wrong.
That gives my argument credibility.
I don't think you're wrong.
Well, what then?
I know you're wrong.
See, there it is. Instant credibility.
You're not a very good arguer.
When I can get you, when I can get under your skin that easily.
But that's not a good argument style. That's just bully.
I like what Detroit's doing. I like some of the things they're doing.
I don't know what they're doing.
They've got a pitcher to build around and Scooble.
They have that this year.
They got another young pitcher. What's that guy's name?
Don't know.
Jung.
He's not a pitcher.
No, they got a guy. Okay.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. I don't know why. Why do you resist me?
Jace Jung is a position player that they just called up. He's Josh Jung's brother, J-U-N-G. And that's what they're doing. They're grasping at straws.
Well, but he could be pretty good, right?
I guess.
They have good prospects.
Okay. We have the fourth best farm system in baseball. And you know one of the teams ahead of us? Not Detroit.
I like them.
And we already have the youngest team in baseball.
You have the fourth ranked system in baseball according to who?
MLB.com.
I must have missed that.
It's all right.
Oh, Jackson Jobe is the pitcher I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's not going to be ready for next year, I don't think, is he? He's pretty young.
Set to arrive in 25. As the calendar would indicate to me, that's next year.
We'll see.
But he throws 100 miles an hour, as if pretty much everybody does now. So we'll see.
Good luck to him.
We'll see how they do.
Fourth.
What?
Fourth. They'll do fourth.
Now you're picking on poor Detroit. That's all you got.
I'm telling you the landscape of the division. Kansas City is good and young. Minnesota is good and young. Cleveland.
Top 10 prospects in baseball, according to the aforementioned MLB.com. Number 7, Max Clark, a Tigers outfielder. Young. Won't be in the big leagues for a bit. And number 8, Jackson Jobe, who we just talked about. So they have the 7th and 8th ranked prospects. They've got number 33. So they're okay.
All right. Good luck.
They've got number 61. They've got number 64. That's 5. That's 5.
Guardians have 6.
Do they really?
Yes.
What's their highest rated guy?
13.
Travis is 13. Travis Bazana, just drafted.
DeLauder's up there. Manzardo's up there. Churio's up there. Velasquez is up there.
Yeah, first baseman's still ranked high? Boy, he's a...
Yes.
He's a bust waiting to happen.
No, he's not. He's having a good year in AAA. 900 OPS.
You know the last guy to go in the Hall of Fame having a good year in AAA?
Pretty much all of them?
Never. Never happened.
No Hall of Famer had a...
Nobody ever accepted his Hall of Fame plaque by saying, I just tore it up.
You know what you just did? You gave my argument credibility by saying you're evaluating him based on the Hall of Fame. That's already pretty good. If he ends up in the Hall of Fame, great. If he doesn't, I'm sure he'll have a productive
career.
We'll
see how he does. Right now, I have no faith in anybody doing anything in my organization.
Well, you're just bitter.
So what? I can be bitter.
Sure, but don't transfer that bitterness.
And yesterday you were wholly bitter.
I was. And probably
now they won a game and you feel better about life.
And I probably will be bitter tomorrow. This is just how it works.
Well, don't come in here with such inconsistency.
I might be bitter at 7 o'clock tonight. You can text me and check in.
I don't text you.
Well, do.
About baseball. I never say, what happened to your team? I'm not that guy.
I know. My friend Fred is.
Why does he do that?
I don't know.
And is he your friend, really, if he's...
He's my friend.
Oh, who's Fred?
Fred's the guy who works at Riverfront with me.
And he's texting you about...
And he does baseball tours, and he goes on buses and sets things up, and he's a tour guide.
What do you say back to Fred?
And he went to the Brewers-Guardians game over the weekend and texted me, Brewers win, and I'm rooting for the Brewers.
How do you handle that?
I told him that's not good. That's not what we do, Fred.
And did Fred respect your wishes?
No.
So he kept texting?
Well, he tried to placate me, and it just didn't work out. I didn't like it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I love Fred, but come on.
Well, that rises above everything if you love the guy. You have a little fun with this stuff.
Oh, we do.
All right. Tomorrow night, we are having a draft, our Bob and Jeff fantasy draft. We're set to go. I've got everybody's email, and I'm going to send that on to Virgil. We never heard back from Tom.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm moving on from Tom.
Tom.
With regret, he had, what's today, Wednesday? He had Monday, Tuesday, and today to get to reach out. I sent him a text. I asked him for his email address, and I've gotten nothing. So I've got a guy to plug in there.
All right. Hope Tom doesn't show up. And we have a mess on our hands like we did last
year. Here's what I'll say. Tom, you didn't get back to me. I'm sorry. I'll buy you dinner, but you're not going to be in the fantasy draft.
Poor guy.
I'm not buying dinner for everyone at the draft.
Anybody?
No. And that's a plea by you. do you even have a wallet?
Yeah, it's right,
because
right over there.
I've honestly never seen it.
Yeah, you have. It's right there.
I've never seen it that... You've had that for 20 years.
It's been a while.
There's
not
never
quite
been
20.
There's never been a bill that's come out of that wallet.
I don't carry a lot of cash very often.
Actually, you have bought some barbecue for us.
Yeah,
at certain times throughout history.
We are very charitable people.
We appreciate that. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to preview Utah football next with Josh Furlong. Utes probably the consensus favorite to win the Big 12. We'll see if Josh concurs. This is the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for.
This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
On the hotline, Josh Furlong, to preview Utah football. Hello, Josh.
How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing well. We're knee-deep into these football previews. They've been extremely informative, and one thing we've learned, as if we didn't know already, it's hard to say who's going to win the Big 12. I would think that Utah would be the favorite. Do you think they are, and why?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have as good a chance as anybody. I think they have a ton of talent coming back on offense and on defense. This is a team that really loaded up on offense through the transfer portal, and they get their quarterback back that got them to two Pac-12 championships, won it, got them to the Rose Bowl. So they feel very confident that they can be that type of team to be in that mix. So, it's a new conference, so it'll be interesting to see how this all works out for them. And I think there's some nuances there, but talent wise, at least on paper, there's, Utah has to be in the mix. And I think they're as good a pick as any, but, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Kansas, any other of these teams could absolutely take that championship as well.
You mentioned their quarterback. That's, of course, Cameron Rising. We heard a lot last year that he might be back last year at some point, but it didn't happen. So how's his health, and ultimately what difference does he make in that offense?
Yeah, Cam is one of those guys that he just kind of brings that confidence to the team. Years ago when he was inserted as the starter, there was just a complete visual representation, just like the team rallied around him. He's got their back, he talks them up, and he's just really able to do whatever they want and help him. But more importantly, on the field, he understands what defenses are going to do. Like he sees it. He absolutely is kind of like a coach in that respect. And I see a coaching career for him if he wants it. But this is a guy that just gives confidence more than anything. He's confident while being humble. He knows what to do. He's going to make his mistakes. He's not going to be the most talented quarterback out there. There's going to be better guys out there. But this is a guy that knows what he's doing and is able to help in whatever capacity. So he's, by all accounts, he's healthy. I'm sure there's little things of just having injuries that'll kind of plague him or whatever that may be. But this is a guy that's coming in healthy and confident and ready to go and attack it in the way that he has the last few years when he was the starting quarterback for Utah.
Talking with Josh Furlong from at KSL.com Sports. You can follow him on Twitter. He's been covering Utah athletics for how long now, Josh?
I started about 2011, if I remember right.
Okay. Well, there was some talk early on when when college football realigned and Utah landed in the Big 12 that Utah fans weren't thrilled with that. Have they come around? Are they more content now knowing a little bit more about the Big 12? What's the general feeling of the populace there?
Yeah, I think, talking to the fans and seeing how they react on Twitter and stuff, I think fans are excited. I think the Big 12 gives them a great landing spot for them to really do what they want to do, right? And that's get to the playoffs. They want to be able to have a chance to get to those championship games or playoff games, those meaningful games. And there's no better place for Utah than the Big 12, right? I know there's a subset of the fans that are disappointed that Utah's not in the Big 10 or maybe some other destination, just because I think for them, looking at the academics in terms of AAU associations, they feel like maybe they align more with the Big 10 and the type of football that they play. But personally, for me, I think it's a perfect fit for Utah. They come in, they can be competitive. They've got some good teams to face every single week. It is different. I think some fans, they miss playing the USC. They miss playing Oregon, Washington, those types of teams that have a storied history. But I think there's a lot of excitement for the type of football that the Big 12 brings in terms of, you know, the fan support. In the Pac-12, there always wasn't that fan support. You know, you might go to some stadiums like in Oregon and Washington where fans show out, but by and large, it's kind of a lackluster showing for many of these programs. And so I think there's an excitement to go to tailgates. There's an excitement to see these teams and ultimately just to compete on a weekly basis with teams that they feel like they can stack up next to.
What was the balance for Coach Kyle Whittingham in wanting to dip into the transfer portal to kind of fix the offense and just waiting for the pieces who were injured last year? I know he wasn't going to go get a quarterback in the transfer portal, and he did get some players out of there to help the offense, but was it mostly just about waiting for injured players to return more than it was going outside for help?
Yeah, there's a bit of balancing act there, like you mentioned. And I think, you know, he varies based on, you know, how he wants to go with the recruiting classes, transfer portals, or just kind of let it sit out. For him, it's always been one of those things where if there's an available player that they love, they don't really care, you know, if they've got depth there or whatever that case may be. You can kind of look at the defensive line. Utah's been pretty loaded on the defensive line, especially defensive end. And then they went and got, you know, 2-3 starting caliber guys in the portal. So if there's guys that they feel like they that can help them eventually, they're going to take them. But yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, they trust their depth. They believe in their depth. This is something that Kyle has preached tremendously about, wanting to get the depth that they need. He saw what it took coming into the Pac-12 and how they didn't have that depth. And so whether it's the transfer portal, recruiting, or whatever the case may be, he's going to do whatever he can to feel confident in his depth. And so I think you see that with some of the places. You know, wide receiver, for example, was a huge area of concern for them. They wanted to get better there. They wanted to be more dynamic. They wanted to give Cam Rising some more assets to throw to. And so they went heavily into the transfer portal there. So it, like I said, it's a balancing act. I don't know that there's one exact thing that he says, okay, we're going to set aside this many players for this and this for that. But I think they just look at it on a case by case basis and try to do whatever they can to upgrade their roster.
Utah opens the season on the 29th. So a week from tomorrow at home against Southern Utah. We're talking Utah football with Josh Furlong. They've added some pieces to the offense. Of course, getting the quarterback back is a huge part of that. But this team has always prided itself on defense. And in this day and age of college football, I respect that quite a bit. How have they kept defense at kind of the top of the ledger for as long as Kyle Whittingham has?
It's just kind of been written into the style that Kyle Whittingham has preached there, right? I think, you know, he came from a long line of defensive coaches. His dad coached defensively. His dad was actually the defensive coordinator at Utah and then brought him, Kyle, on as an assistant coach. And then eventually Kyle took it on as a defensive coordinator. And so it's just something that they know. I think they feel like they have a really good handle on that, and they've been very successful in being able to identify talent. You know, a lot of times it's been a lot of these early on, it was 2-star guys. Now it's 3-star guys and now 4-star guys, where they've been able to identify these guys and get them to the level where they need to be. There's several players on this defense that used to play on offense. They see that they have some versatility, then some skill sets that might translate on the defensive side of the ball better. And then they maximize it, right? They demand a lot. They push these guys. It's not an easy system to be a part of, but the players that succeed, they come out having a tremendous amount of knowledge and set themselves up very well for potentially an NFL career. So it's just kind of something that they hang their hat on. It's always something that they've preached. Morgan Scally, who used to play for Kyle Whittingham, is now their defensive coordinator. He's been there for, I think, 12 years, if I can remember right. You know, he's the head coach in waiting. He has that same philosophy and style. And so it just kind of is carried on for generations. And, you know, it's just kind of who Utah is in terms of how their culture is set up, especially with the Polynesian pipeline and just how that defensive unit works.
It's funny because Arizona and K-State play in a non-conference game. And that's, I guess, part of the interesting thing about realignment is some of these non-conference games are now conference games. And the other one in the Big 12 is Utah against Baylor week two. Is that just another game on the schedule for Utah, or are they kind of looking that as an early preview of what life in the Big 12 will be like?
Yeah, I think they definitely use that as kind of a gauging point for where Utah can be. Obviously, Baylor isn't probably the team that is going to be the toughest one that Utah's going to face, or at least they might not be. But I think, you know, they're taking this very seriously, right? You know, even though it's considered as a non-conference game, they're going to treat it very much so like a conference game. You know, you don't want to lose any of those games, and you don't want to be in a position where other Big 12 teams can kind of take that ownership and pride away from you. So, yeah, they start with an FCS opponent and then get Baylor, and that's going to have their attention, right? They played them last year in Waco, so they got a sense of it, but it was with a Utah team that didn't have its full complement of players, and so I think they feel confident in this. But it definitely will be a gauging point for where Utah thinks they can be in the Big 12 and kind of how that stacks up compared to some of these other teams that they're going to face.
All right, Josh, we really appreciate your expertise on the Utah Utes. I'm bummed out neither Kansas nor Kansas State will be playing Utah in this inaugural year for the Utes. I don't know if I'm going to have to get used to this unbalanced schedule, even though some of that existed last year. How do you feel about that? It's as if the college football playoff is going to have even more meaning. Do you like the unbalanced schedule? Do you like not knowing who Utah is going to play from year to year?
Yeah, I don't love it, to be honest. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of people complained about the Pac-12 having a 9 conference schedule. But I think by and large, you were playing most of the teams that were going to matter, right? There might be an off year where you missed a team and, you know, you obviously can't schedule every opponent. But, you know, like you said, looking at this year, I mean, you've got Utah not playing Kansas or Kansas State, two teams that are absolutely going to be in the mix. And we don't even know how well they can do against each other, right? Like Utah will play Oklahoma State. And so that'll be a good testing point for them. But it's going to be an interesting situation of, you know, Utah may, let's say Kansas State is the other team that lines up with Utah at the end. They've never played each other, or they might miss each other, and we don't really know how they're going to battle it out. So I wish there was a way that you could kind of get it better, but I also understand there's just no way in this age where you can get every game to matter or that you line up with that. But I think it's fun.
Well, we'll get maybe Utah and K-State or Kansas in the Big 12 championship game. That's probably on the table. Thank you, Josh. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
Josh Furlong from KSL.com Sports talking Utah football. Never thought I'd be interviewing somebody about Utah football as part of a Big 12 preview, but here we are.
And next up, Arizona State.
No, Arizona.
Yeah.
Do you have any memory left?
I know. I was messing with you, and I hooked you.
I mean, it's alarming.
Is it?
I'm alarmed. That's how I feel about it.
Meh.
Mike Furchus joins us. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Jeff. How you guys doing today?
We're doing okay. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I got a guy that's going to be calling in. His stage name is Rocket Star. So things are going good. I'm looking forward to this interview. I've been following this stuff on Facebook and other places, and so been doing that and listening to his music and watching his DVD and going to a few movies as well. So it's a social world out there.
So Max, I think we have this person on the line, correct? Mike, would you go ahead and start us off?
Yeah. Rocket Star, stage name, I guess, I'm assuming, became familiar with this material on Facebook, and he had taken like 13 years to create this animated rock opera, and he like plays everything on it. He drew it. It's an amazing effort of love, in my opinion. So here he is, Rocket Star.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Tell us, Rocket Star, tell us about this venture that took you so long to do. Mike has just raved about it. Tell us what's going on. How did this all come about?
Yeah, I'm glad he loved it because I think he actually asked me to do this before he completely saw it. So I was telling him it would have been terrible if he was like, I know I booked this guy, but this movie is awful. So I'm glad he liked it. It's a labor of love. It's called Rocket Stars, Death of a Rock Star. And as Mike said, it took me 13 years to do it. I wrote the movie. I wrote all the songs, 26-song soundtrack. I orchestrated it. It's all live orchestrations. I played all the guitar, bass, piano, sang everything but the female leads. And then, as if that wasn't enough for me to take on, I animated the entire film over 8 years with no previous animation experience. So, yeah, that's basically the gist of it.
Man, that's crazy. How did you stick with this project for that long? I'd give up after a week if it just basically in anything. But you saw this through to the very end. What else was going on in your life at the time, and what kept you focused?
I mean, you know, that's kind of like the million-dollar question people always ask, and I just kind of think it was just sheer will and determination. You know, I've started several projects in the past or different bands and stuff, and, you know, they always break up or you go on to something else. But for some reason with this, it just felt right for me to, I just had to finish it. I felt compelled to tell this story and to put this music out, and nothing was going to stop me. So yeah, I guess it was just sort of a belief in myself or the project, you know. That just makes you want to keep doing something come hell or high water.
One of the things I've appreciated about it is the 80s rock feel. I'm thinking of, you know, bands like Poison and Wasp and others. There's definitely some orchestrated parts that reminds me a lot of ELO, and you know how much I love them. The influences, I mean, what was your attempt and why this particular style of music did you go with?
You know, it's interesting that you mention the 80s kind of thing, because I think it's got more of a 70s vibe personally. And I love Wasp. They're awesome. Blackie Lawless is great. And, you know, I'm a big Guns N' Roses guy, so I love 80s stuff. But I was definitely going for, you know, more of a 70s thing. Like you said, ELO, the influence. Queen is a huge influence. Bowie, T-Rex, Zeppelin, you know, the whole gamut. And it's just the music that I came up on that brought me into rock and roll, you know, when I got into music. You know, everything from the Beatles, who are my absolute number one heroes, you know, all the way down to Guns N' Roses. It's really just what's become a part of me over the years of learning how to write music and writing different styles of music. So, of course, when I came down to me making the opera, I was going to throw all of that into the mix, you know, because an opera, a rock opera or anything like that is the perfect venue to have a bunch of different styles of music in it. You know, you don't have to have like a one record like AC/DC's Back in Black where it's all the same style, you know, which is great, but it allows you to stretch your wings a little more.
Talking with Rocket Star, Death of a Rock Star, the animated movie that he's put out after 13 years of working on this. Tell us about your background. How you got started, how music became an integral part of your life.
I'm 51, so it's a long story, so I'll try to make it short. But you know, I came up on when I was very young, you know, my father was a dancer, so that's probably where the theatrical sense of things comes from, hearing Broadway tunes and stuff when I was a kid. The 80s, I got into kind of like, you know, more top 40 sort of stuff in the mid 80s. And then it was really, you know, Queen and then mainly Guns N' Roses that really blew the lid off me when they exploded in the late 80s, that made me want to pick up the guitar. I had played piano since I was a kid, but, you know, never got too good at it. But that was just like, you know, oh my gosh, I want to do this kind of stuff. And then you really just explore all of music after that, you know, right? I'm sure, you know, most of us who are into rock and roll had this same experience. And I always ask this of my email list, that people who buy my movie end up being on, is like, you know, what rock and roll moment made you? Because something like that happens, and then you kind of explore music further. You want to know the influences of that band, and, you know, you listen to classic rock radio or whatever, and you get more into, you know, Led Zeppelin and The Who and The Stones and the different eras of music. And, you know, that's the kind of benefit of, you know, being, you know, in the last 20, 30 years is that you can explore all of this music and really let it influence you and find what you love the most. So, you know, and then getting into bands over the years, you know, after that happened, I started putting bands together and then moved away and tried to pursue music and put a bunch of different types of bands together and played solo. And, you know, eventually it just led to doing this movie kind of, you know, when I realized that I was putting so much money and effort into a show that I was doing with a string quartet and all that stuff that I figured I might as well put into something for posterity, you know, something that it doesn't just last one night. Because when you're an indie artist, you don't have obviously endless amounts of money to be spending $1,000 on a show each night. So I just figured, well, let me really do something kind of for the ages, so to speak.
How do people find this movie, and who do you want to find this movie? I'm sure that you want as many people as possible to see it, but who's kind of the target audience? Who do you think will be affected and struck mostly by this?
You know, obviously I want everyone to see it, but it's such a unique kind of thing that it's very niche, very cult classic type of movie. You know, kind of anywhere between Rocky Horror Picture Show and Yellow Submarine mixed with Jesus Christ Superstar and Tommy, really. That's kind of, I mean, you put those all in a pot and you stir it up and that's kind of my movie. So I assumed the audience for it was people around my age or Mike's age, you know, people 45 and older, we're into that era. But I'm finding one of the beauties of advertising for on Facebook like I do, I'm finding a lot of young people are into this. People between like 18 and 25, they love classic rock and roll too. You know, obviously not all of them, but I'm finding that that's a large part of the fan base. So, you know, I'm advertising to them a lot too. And if you don't see one of the ads out there on Facebook or Instagram, you could always go to my web store. It's if I'm allowed to say this, it's www.deathofarockstore.com. And you can buy it on Blu-ray or DVD or the CD soundtrack or, you know, the T-shirts or whatever, you know. So that's basically what I do. I believe in physical media. Digital is great. That's an awesome venue. But as an artist trying to build a fan base, I find that putting product into people's hands, the tangible thing, people respond to better. They value it more. And so that's been what's really kind of making it. That's how Mike found out about it, by going that route.
One of the things that impresses me about it is, again, music, it impresses me. But one of the things I've always loved about rock is that it pushed the boundaries and was not afraid to address certain political agendas and issues. And you certainly have that type of thing thrown in and out of the movie. I mean, your thoughts on that and the media and the way that rock and roll can have an impact on society.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely think it can. You know, I'm not a political artist, but when I put this movie together, of course, I wanted to put as much as I could of me into it. And I do happen to be a very libertarian person. I'm very into free speech and liberty and stuff like that. You know, I'm not on the right side of the spectrum or the left side of the spectrum. And I wanted to make sure that the movie was fun overall. So no matter what you're into, or even if you disagree with any of the political ideas in the movie, you could just ignore that and have a good time with the sounds and the colors. And it's largely a love story and a love letter to rock and roll. But yeah, I feel like the messages in it, I feel like they're very timeless. As far as the, you know, some of the political messages that it's talking about. I mean, I started working on this during the Bush administration, and yet these issues that I bring up in it, they're still relevant today. So, you know, it's I feel like it's a very, very generalized message. It's not saying anything, you know, it offends both sides. I find that from people are like, yeah, I agree with this, but I didn't agree with that. And I find that from people, everybody who's coming into it are from all over the spectrum politically that are enjoying the movie and getting something out of it on that end or not even on that end. So, yeah, that's how I kind of feel about it. I'm not a political artist, but obviously those messages are there in the movie because I am an artist and it's just going to come out of you.
Final moments here with Rocket Star. He's got a new movie out called Death of a Rock Star. It's animated. It took him 13 years to finish. So you mentioned that you've covered several political spectrums. You've also covered several musical spectrums and technology spectrums. Technology's really exploded in these 13 years that you've been working on this movie. Where are we headed technology-wise with music and AI and everything that's coming onto the scene now? What do you predict?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, like, as you say, technology has advanced so much even since I started that over the course of animating it, by the end, I had to go back and redo, like, almost the first half of the movie because the program got so much more advanced. I was able to make it look so much better over just that period of time. And the AI stuff, you know, I'm one of the people who I'm not anti-AI. That's just another technology, and it's just how the world is heading. You know, I am into human achievement, but I also think AI is a pretty amazing tool. And if that's what people want to use for, you know, their music or whatever, well, that's fine. Be honest about it. Say that's what you use, that you didn't actually do this thing yourself. And I always feel like, bring it on. I will compete and I'll do better. But it's an amazing tool. I actually put out a CD, self-titled CD last March, where I use AI for the cover because I wanted to see how it would work. I used the Midjourney program, and I was really happy with the cover that came out of it. It's not something I plan on doing a whole lot with, but I wanted to try it out because that's just where the world is heading. There's nothing you can do about it. If you're just going to fight it, you're just going to frustrate the heck out of yourself. So either you just do what you do and compete, or you utilize it in different ways. You know, I mean, you know, like you just said, I couldn't have done what I did now without modern technology. I couldn't have animated a whole movie or recorded, you know, I did the orchestrations and piano and drums in a studio, but I did all the guitars and singing and stuff like that at home on my computer. I couldn't have afforded all that studio time. This was the 80s or, you know, even the most of the 90s. This just couldn't have happened. So it would be pretty hypocritical of me to now go, oh, yes, this technology was fine. That put a bunch of engineers and studios out of work, but I'm against AI because that'll put this out of work, or, you know, that would be pretty hypocritical of me to say. So, you know, let it be what it's going to be, you know, and we'll see where it goes. I think the future's bright.
Well, it's been fascinating visiting with you, and we appreciate you coming on the show to talk about your new movie and talk about yourself and give us an idea about what you do and how you do it. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you, Mike, for inviting me on, too.
Oh, more than welcome. Enjoyed it.
There you go. Guys. Thank you.
Have a great rest of your day.
All right. You bet. We'll ask Mike to hang on through the break. Join us for a little bit in hour number two. We'll be back with hour number two of the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later, when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.